Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
You've made it to Off the Cut episode 95. We're up in Toronto and here in Ohio. Today is known as Tuesday, December 19th, 2023, which means the Green Sears podcast, the worst podcast available on Apple and Spotify, still sucks. But you know who? It's such a good intro.
I always think you're going to put a little flourish on it and do something different for every episode, and then you just hit me with the same one and it still makes me chuckle.
I know. Well, they still suck. So
yeah, fair enough.
But you know what doesn't suck?
KM Tools, baby.
KM Tools. And they are a company run by our good buddy. This is where we need that. You ever knows when you ever talk to Jonathan, he always goes like, hey, buddy. Like, he always has this like,
yeah,
this thing he says, right? We need like that, the same ship clip that Shop Sounds has.
We need a Catsmosis soundboard is what we need.
Yeah, we do.
We could go through like a bunch of his videos and cut out some of his sayings and his isms.
Yeah. He's got a lot of them.
But, yeah, yeah.
But one of his isms is that if it's in his store, it's in his shop.
That's right. That's right. I like that transition. That was really good.
See what I did there?
Yeah, that was smart.
That's because KM Tools is a company for woodworkers by woodworkers. Mm-hmm. So everything you buy on there is going to be high quality. It's either made by Jonathan and his team, or mm-hmm. it's a super good value, and he vets everything.
That's right. And a portion of every sale goes to the Catsmosis Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund.
You bet it does. So that's awesome. And because Jonathan doesn't just want to pay us, he also wants to pay you guys.
That's right.
Every single month, we're giving away $50. Well, he is giving away a $50 gift card to KM Tools. All you have to do to enter to win that is sign up on Patreon, and you're automatically entered. Nothing else. You just get the gift card. Yeah, well, and all the other Patreon perks.
But. Yeah, yeah. But that stuff's all kind of BS compared to the gift card. Let's be real. That's just like more time with you and I. Who wants that?
I mean, no one really wants to listen to the hour-long after show or get access to the Discord or hang out with us tonight on our live group video chat. Yeah. And a bunch of other stuff. But huge thanks to Jonathan for sponsoring the show. And let's get right into it.
All righty. Let's do it.
So I guess the first thing we should talk about for everybody on the live stream tonight is our monthly group video hangout where we all get together after a show and talk about whatever, ask questions, just chill, hang out. So be on the lookout over on Patreon. Well, I already sent it out. It's the link to the video chat for that. So that'll be for all of the, $25 tier and up people, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's the way.
Something like that. It's on Patreon. You can check it out if you want to join us. But we will be headed over there tonight. There will be no after show tonight because we are doing the monthly live hangout. So I think that's all the admin stuff.
Okay, well, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this bad boy then.
Well, one of the things that we had talked about a couple episodes back was that, Zach, I think you had mentioned the fact that, like, you always just, you get a lot of turd comments, right? People that are just like blasting you, just being rude for the sake of being rude, right?
I want to say like 50% of my comments 50? Are, yeah, it's actually surprisingly high. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a very unlikable person, which I understand to a large degree.
Right.
But I don't know. Scroll through my comments. There's a lot of mean stuff. And maybe maybe it's not actually that bad, and I just kind of only notice the mean stuff, but I don't know.
But I mean, and one, like, your videos are out, and this is a compliment, they're outperforming your channel
recently. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm reaching a wider audience than just people who are subscribed to me.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So that's fantastic. But with that means that your stuff's getting shown to a
yes.
totally new audience. And when people do that, they don't know you. So yeah. they're like, oh, who is this guy? I'm going to blast them in the comments. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, as a creator, that's a like it's a sign of success when you start getting hateful comments. It's like counterintuitive, but it just means that you are reaching beyond, you know, your kind of your own tribe or the people who watch your videos on a regular basis. So that definitely does help. Like seeing those comments like, well, I, you know, it's like I'm getting out there, even yeah. though it's people say mean things. But
whatever. Something's going well if you're just getting repeatedly blasted.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, like you said, doesn't make sense, but
yeah,
it's reality.
Look, there are nice comments in there too. And, you know, those people are the people who you kind of filter out and they become your subscribers and they become part of your tribe, so right. to speak, right? So,
right. Yeah. But because it's the holiday season and we don't want to dwell on negativity, mm-hmm. one of the things that we had talked about was when you first start a channel, no one's watching your stuff. And you might get like one or two comments on a video. And if you get something negative, it might just completely derail you. And you're like, man, I don't know if I want to do this. So
yeah,
we challenged ourselves and all of you guys to go on YouTube or Instagram or whatever, find a small creator and just leave a nice comment, like something like very encouraging, you know, and give back, try to encourage people to do kind of this kind of thing. So I found one that I want to share, and I know I'm throwing you guys on the spot. So I don't, if you haven't done it yet, it doesn't matter, but
okay.
I found one that I wanted to share today. The channel was, Barber
Instagram or YouTube,
YouTube. It was on YouTube.
Okay.
It's called Barber Paddock or Barbers, B-A-R-B-E-R. Apostrophe S, Paddock, P-A-D-D-O-C-K, Woodworking.
Oh, yeah.
The channel's got about 5,000 subs, and the video that I saw that popped up was a video, it was basically how he had used, like, using lasers to create, like, inside of drawer boxes, basically mm-hmm. just like bang out like small little cubbies that are like super modular and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting like organization hack. And when I first saw this video, I was like, oh, this is pretty good. This guy's probably got to have a pretty big channel. And I got 5,000 subs and like the editing was fantastic. The voice was crystal clear. It was fantastic.
I'm looking at it. Even its thumbnails are actually, well, not, I sound surprised there, but his thumbnails are quite good. They're very clear and like mm-hmm. You get a sense of what he's trying to show in every video, which is something that I feel like a lot of early on YouTubers, they make a mistake there. He's only been at it for a year. So,
right.
He's posted a lot. Like,
a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how many videos is this? 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, 28, 30 videos in a year. That's impressive.
Sounds like what I was doing, but he's got way more subs than I did at that point.
Yeah. Me too. Going me too. Week. Yeah.
Right. Right. But yeah, definitely a pretty cool channel. I'm interested to pop in and see what other stuff they've got.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Are we subscribing as a podcast?
Sure.
Oh yeah. Let's give them a subscription.
Subscribed.
Subscribed.
Whew, look at that.
Now, did you leave a comment?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which on that one about the laser cut drawers?
I believe so. And I don't know. I checked out several of the other ones. But it was interesting. I was just like, this. It was a clever idea. It was very well crafted. Yeah, that was. I thought the channel was pretty cool.
This is a great channel. I'm actually gonna watch that video because I'm thinking about getting a laser myself. Because you know, I need laser. More tools to do woodworking that's not actually real woodworking.
Yeah, you got a CNC.
Yeah,
you've got a 3D printer.
So why not go for the trifecta?
What's the next thing that's going to piss people off?
It's the laser. It's always the laser.
You can't build your robot army without a laser.
That's right. That's right.
So after you get a laser, what could piss people off even more after that?
Oh, that's a great question.
Plasma CNC.
Plasma. Yeah. Water jet.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen one of those water jets that'll cut through like half-inch plate steel?
I'm pretty sure I saw one when I was with Jay at Woodpeckers. I think it was a water jet.
Cool, cool. There's a YouTube channel. I can't remember the name of the guy's channel now. It's a pretty big channel, and he has a water jet that's just massive. Damn, I can't remember the name of his channel. He's one of these guys who only posts like five times a year, but when he does, it's like a big epic.
Was it me?
you posted like five times this month, so let me see if I can pull it up.
No, you'll see if you can find it. Well, Derek, I'll turn this one your way. Did you run across any small channels that you wanted to highlight for the holiday give back season?
No, I got to be honest. I was super busy this weekend. I hadn't been online that much. The other night, just in my free time, I started scrolling through Instagram looking for something. Everything that kept coming across my feed had like a million or like a couple hundred thousand followers. I was like, that's not going to work.
You know what? So this is actually a more challenging question or task than you would initially think, because the best discovery happens for the bigger channels, right?
Right.
They know how to make a killer video, so the algorithm pumps them out more. Right. So how did you end up finding this barber guy?
It was actually on the YouTube homepage, which is something I don't use. It did take me a little while because I found some interesting ones, and then I was like, okay, they have a check mark next to their name. They've got a big channel. I was trying to find one that didn't have a check mark in it that was actually something I was interested in watching.
Yeah.
Not just some random nonsense of me being like, oh, small channel, cool, I'll just pick this one. I was like, oh, this is pretty neat. This is a neat idea.
I will say on YouTube, on my feed, because I go through the suggested feed a lot, it does suggest channels that are smaller to me more often than anywhere else.
I was actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Derek, because I've been wanting to talk about this. I continuously get served videos that have like 300 views.
Me too.
In my recommended thing. And I was like, is that a tweak that YouTube's making in order to promote smaller creators? And if so, like, good on them. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was curious if it had to deal with the size of our channels. But I mean, Derek, if you're seeing that as well on your end,
Oh, interesting.
It's not necessarily correlated.
Yeah, I have two accounts. I use my Zach Builds one now more, but I used to have a personal one that I just use it. And I've noticed the same thing on both.
But
that's an interesting theory that it's like showing us smaller creators.
I don't know. Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, so I'll be honest, I did not do the assignment.
These guys. This is like the Green Suitors podcast out here.
But before we got on the air, I was researching, doing a little research for my next project. I put out the PS2 video. That's going pretty well.
Yeah, it is.
And a lot of people were requesting the PS3 video, so I was like doing a little research, and I stumbled across this guy's channel. So his channel is called NSC Mods, and he does some really wild, over-the-top modifications to old video game consoles.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I haven't left a nice comment for him yet, but it seems like a good... Yeah, there you go. Derek's got it all pulled up. So he's got a fully water-cooled PS3 that I thought would make for a fun future project. So I was going to watch his video and see how he did it.
I mean, how many subs is this guy? What's the channel size?
29,000.
Okay, yeah, it's still a good-sized channel.
Yeah, and he's got some bangers, too. He's got some videos that are 500,000 views. He's been at it for a long time, 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like those video game videos get a lot of views.
Yeah, well, it turns out people have a lot of nostalgic feelings, myself included, wrapped up in old games.
Yeah, and hell, nerds don't like to leave their homes, so YouTube is the first place to go.
Hell yeah, I can attest to that personally.
So can you imagine, though, if like... how well these videos are doing for you. I don't know anything about this stuff.
I was actually good at making videos.
I know. But like, imagine if you had like a product, like you're like, oh, this is the Zach Builds fan. I'm going to put the Zach Builds fan in this thing.
Oh,
that would be fun.
And now everyone's going to be like, well, damn, I need to get that Zach Builds fan.
That's true. That'd be fun. Well, yeah, maybe I'll start approaching a bunch of different companies, seeing if they want to partner up.
Have you, a bit in all seriousness, have you ever considered going about making a product?
I have.
The same way people do, where you basically are just white labeling something. So like you take a fan and then you just print Zach Builds on it and you're like, this is my Zach Builds fan.
That's true. That's true. I should look into some white label goods and see what's out there. I feel like you had to spend a lot of time sifting through crap, because I'm not going to put my name on a fan that's, you know, loud and doesn't move much air and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's a good idea.
But just do like what Cam from Blacktail did.
Yeah.
Carbon Method is whatever his thing. It's the same product, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, definitely.
Comes from the same factory.
Yep. Yeah.
I've got to imagine it's the same product.
They just slap a different label on it and he sells it to his audience. It's an interesting channel. I would, I'd love to try something like that.
And then there's no fulfillment either.
Mm-hmm. Which is big. I was actually thinking in a similar vein of hiring a graphic designer to make some cool t-shirts that were kind of like woodworking and tech themed.
I've thought of the exact same thing because, we'll get into this later. My new website's finally up.
Ooh, and I'm like, out of beta.
Yeah, it's up there.
Pulling up now.
And so I'm like, I want to have the video right at the merch. Start. Yeah.
Woodworking like, simplified.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything words to throw up there.
That's a very high quality video to be playing in a banner. Like it loaded instantly.
It's 4K, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. That looks awesome. It definitely does soften it. I think Miranda was right.
Yeah, this is 100% Miranda's idea. She goes, did I click on something? And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, I went onto your website and then you're instantly like trying to sell me something. She's like, this seems kind of abrasive.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you softened it. And I like that it's got a lot of you in it too. Like it's, you know, there's just like goofy moments you wave into the camera and stuff.
Yeah, and I should also say what Derek just found on the website. I whipped up a quick thing in Photoshop, and we have a new T-shirt.
Oh no!
And okay, it says, "Only you can prevent the Green Suitors podcast."
Is this AI generated?
Partially,
because it looks awesome.
Yeah. It doesn't look bad, huh?
Yeah, that looks great.
Only you can prevent the Green Suitors podcast, available on all streaming platforms.
Well, look, if this doesn't fly off the shelves, I don't know what will.
I know.
Get for a loved one, pick it up this holiday season.
Right, right. So, you know, got hats, got t-shirts, got all kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah.
It's not bad. So
I'm going to get an off-the-cut hat made. I need a new hat anyways. All mine are gross, covered in sawdust, so.
Oh, man, that's how this one is. Like, this one I've got now, it's got paint and all kinds of stuff on it. Like,
When I was first starting out as a content creator, one of the first things you get in terms of like perks is you just get swag kind of showing up to your house on a pretty consistent basis, right? So
I've got like hat.
Exactly. I've got firm grip hats. I've got gator sandpaper hats and stuff like that. Once you get to a certain point, that stuff stops.
I know.
I haven't gotten anything that's like, you know, I mean, I'm spoiled here because, you know, tools and stuff show up in the mail, but I haven't gotten any like beer koozies or hats or t-shirts in a while.
I know. I like the free t-shirts are nice because they're usually really soft and I would wear them while I would like paint and stuff. So I'm like, if I get it ruined, like, whatever.
Who cares? Yeah.
Just get rid of it. But So new website is up.
Awesome.
That whole saga is finally over, and I can focus on things that actually matter. The website matters, but like I can actually proceed forward on doing all of these other things I want to do now.
I just noticed two things on your website that I would like to address real quickly.
Please.
I didn't realize that you named all of your designs. You got the Cody coffee table, the Eleanor dining table. How do you pick the names?
So the Eleanor dining table, that's our cat's name is Eleanor. And she always sits at the table while we eat dinner. Like literally, we like pull her chair out. She sits in the chair and just like puts her paws up on the table and just watches us eat.
That's hilarious.
So we're like, this is basically her dining table.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
And then sometimes the names are like for who it was made for.
Yeah.
Because not only does it seem like it has a name, but I could be like, oh, it was that, you know, the table I made for Cody or like, you know, whatever.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I thought I was like Cody coffee table. I was like, maybe he just did it because it's a fun alliteration.
No.
Okay. It
just helps me remember rather than just calling it walnut dining table. Like, okay, at some point I'm going to have like six of those and I'm not going to remember which one it was, right?
Good point.
Yeah.
And then the other question I have for you is in this video that's playing on screen right now, maybe we're going to see it in a second.
Oh, yeah. The entertainment center thing.
Well, it is the entertainment center, but I'm actually more curious about how you got a flashlight to stick to your Switch like that. There's like a flashlight randomly suspended on the wall next to the light switch.
I don't know. I don't think it's a flashlight.
It really looked like a flashlight.
Oh, no, it probably was a flashlight. It's probably like on a string.
Hold on, it's coming. It's coming.
Okay, it's coming. Hold on.
Oh, it's just out of frame. No, it's like it's on top of that light switch there. And that will
so that's where we have this little like mail thing that holds like letters and keys and stuff like that.
Oh, it's dangling.
So it's probably on a string.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
How long do you think it's going to be before I get an email? Somebody's like, hey, so I was looking at the video on your homepage, and it looks like you got this big media console. Did you put the video of that out? And I'm going to be like, no. Made that a year ago. It's still not out yet.
Was it really a year? I thought you were working on it in the summertime.
I can tell you when I opened it. Let's see.
That video is completely done, right? You're just waiting for a sponsor?
Yeah. It says April 6th was when I created it.
Okay.
So that's not too bad.
Well, it's still 8 months. But, 7 months.
Yeah. So website is up. That was a nightmare.
Yeah. But you got it done. Did you modify the back end? Did you go in and like do it all yourself?
Oh, yeah. And let me just say, from going from Shopify, or I'm going from Squarespace to going to Shopify.
Yeah.
Shopify is, how should I say this? If you're looking to sell anything, do not waste your time on Squarespace.
Right. It's not, their e-commerce stuff is all kind of, feels like a tacked on extra.
Oh, it's so antiquated.
Yeah, they started out as like a website, you know, I don't know, create websites for photographers and stuff like that, where your website was meant to be more of a portfolio. And then I feel like all the e-commerce stuff, they kind of got feedback from people and they're like, we should start tacking on some e-commerce stuff. And it feels very tacked on. Whereas Shopify is built from the ground up to be an e-commerce platform.
If you're somebody that's a great way to say it. If you're looking to just post tons and tons of photos and like make it a portfolio, yes, Squarespace is going to be easier. If you're looking to sell stuff, Shopify is 1,000 times easier. However, Shopify does actually make it more challenging to upload assets. And what I mean by assets are like photos, videos that are not products. So like if you just want to have like grids of like your projects that you've made but you're not selling any of them, it's much more difficult to do that. You'd have to go and get like basically like apps or add-ons or plugins to do that. The intent of my website is to drive sales and you know sell things, so that's what I'm going for with Shopify. I've abandoned the whole blog idea.
Yeah, blogs are kind of going the way of the dodo, I think.
I just I have no interest in doing it.
How many blogs do you personally read?
None.
I used to read a bunch back in the day. You know, 10 years ago, I had I would sit down at my computer and I had, I don't know, 5-6 blogs that I would check every day.
Right.
And now I never do that anymore, so.
Yeah. So in summary, if you just want to post photos and make it like a portfolio, Squarespace is great. If you're looking to sell anything, especially physical products, or you need to calculate sales tax,
oh yeah,
do not use Squarespace.
Yeah.
You know the Squarespace's thing that like calculates sales tax? It's called Tax Jar. Okay. And it will charge you like several hundred dollars a month to calculate sales tax.
Wow. I guess their feeling is that if you're making enough money where you have to be collecting sales tax, you must have a pretty big store. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. But so far, Shopify has been excellent. The only thing that took a little time was obviously the whole setting up Shopify and that the people that I hired effed it up royally. But like transferring my domains and servers and stuff like that was a little bit of a pain because I get that it's not instant. Like you have this like 12 to 24 hour period where like you change it. So people were like, hey, I'm going to your website and nothing's happening. I'm like, I know. I know. It's like I submitted the new one and like it's going to take a minute for all that to sync and stuff. And
yeah,
so, working.
I hear you. Ugh.
So who does your fulfillment on the physical items?
I don't have. Oh, like merch?
They're all drop shipping.
Yeah,
I think, right?
It's yeah, drop shipping.
Is it Teespring or?
It's one of those. I don't remember which one it is.
Isn't that funny? You just redid your website and you don't. It's like it's so simplified and streamlined. You don't even know who does it because you don't really even have to interact with it anymore.
Right. Honestly, the merch isn't even a. It's not even a moneymaker. Like if I wanted to make money on it, I would charge like $38 for a t-shirt. I'm pretty sure I make like $6 on a t-shirt or $8 on a t-shirt.
Well, your t-shirts right now, maybe it's doing automatic conversion to Canadian for me, but they cost $36 on my screen right now.
Yeah, it automatically converts it.
Okay. So that's why.
So mine's 26 or 27 US.
Interesting. Cool. Shopify, baby.
Yeah, Shopify is great. They're not a sponsor yet, but I'm trying to get them as one.
Yeah. They do a lot of YouTube advertising, so
I heard they have deep pockets too.
Yeah. Well, they basically have a license to print money. Every store that's on the internet is basically giving them, 1% of their revenue or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Them or Amazon. The nice
thing is it's just they have an endless like market, like an app store.
Yeah.
For things to add on. So I was like, oh, what is this?
Yeah, what is
that? Did you just see that?
Yeah, I saw that. Was that you, Derek?
No.
What just happened? I put my.
Oh, dude. Yeah,
this is like. This? They were talking about that on Shop Sounds this week, too. Like that happened with, I think it's a Mac thing.
It must be a Mac thing. It must 100% be a Mac thing.
For everybody listening, I put my thumbs up. And now this like thumbs up bubble comes up. Now if I do a thumbs down.
What is this?
Can you do like this?
What if I do this? Nothing?
Nothing.
Peace? I get a piece? No.
Hold on.
What about this is one though, right?
Yeah. Or just the horns?
Do peace?
Peace? You might
get balloons?
Yeah. Oh, I got balloons!
Okay, now do a heart.
Oh my god, this is nuts. This is terrible. So I guess people listening to the podcast, I just updated my computer like an hour or two ago. And now when I make gestures at the camera,
it's
emojis and like stuff pop up.
Give me one last one. Give me the double bull horns.
Double bull horns? What's this one?
Oh my god.
I got lasers and smoke going on. Man, this is going to be fun. I forgot what I was even talking about. It doesn't matter. But yeah, Shopify has been great. I also bought a bunch of other domains. So I got the
podcast.com.
No, I should buy that. I got like the .co, the .net, the Spensley DSing co.
Common misspellings.
Yep. And it's like, it's not bad. And then once I get them all set up, I'm actually going to redirect them. So if somebody mistypes it, it redirects them to my website and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just working on some of that kind of stuff. I mean, honestly, am I really a big target for somebody to try to steal and impersonate my domain?
Probably not, but you never know.
You never know.
I had one of those YouTube bots or scammers scamming my audience again. I didn't do any giveaway posts or anything like that. He just started messaging people in my comments section saying, hey, message me on Telegram. I've got like a free, I don't know, PS5 or something for you. So I was getting all these emails and DMs on Instagram like, hey, where's my PlayStation 5?
Jesus, people are so stupid.
I know.
Did you go in your YouTube settings and like put Telegram as a banned word?
Oh, no, I didn't do that. We even talked about doing that on the podcast.
I did that. And since I'd had that, I have had no one email.
Okay. Kind of stuff. All right. I'm going to maybe even try and do that right now if I can.
Maybe even the word giveaway or prize.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Anyways.
But yeah.
Annoying.
Well, speaking of giveaways. I did my giveaway for in the last one of the videos I put out, the like the 10 tools I recommend or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
I did like an embedded giveaway of like I just kept randomly talking about something and gesturing at something like I was actually talking about it. I was like, well, if you're actually paying attention, there's a link that says like flamingo feathers or something. Go in the description, click on that, and you can enter a giveaway or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I picked the winner like a day or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Person never responded. So like, how long do I wait for the person?
Great question.
Yeah.
I feel like you give them
like a week.
Yeah. I'd say a week is pretty fair. So I'm curious to know how this person gets notified that they've won.
So on Gleam, which is the gleam.io service, again, something we're not sponsored by. I paid for it myself. Yeah.
Oh, you have to pay for it. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
So it's free, but I paid $50 for a 1 month subscription because then you can add tons of other features and you can, the whole reason people do giveaways, sorry guys, is to get access to everyone's email to build up your email list.
Yeah.
If you do the free version, you only get the email of the winner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I got like 8,000 emails for $50. Not bad.
Yeah. So let me. Oh, I had a question. Now it's. Are you going to continue to keep up your Gleam subscription, or are you going to? Oh, okay.
I'll just pay $50 whenever I want to do another one. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to do 12 a year.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome.
So you basically go on there and then you like pick a winner and then it goes like boom, here's your winner.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the reason I asked is like, is it possible that this person has gotten a notification from Gleam, but because Gleam is such a high volume emailer, maybe it went into their spam folder?
No, it says on Gleam that they do not contact the winner for me. I have to contact them.
Oh, so you sent them an email.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe worth sending like from your personal account or something like that, just in case.
Yeah, I sent it from eric@spensleydesignco.com, which I think is the least likely to be impersonated, and it looks the most legit, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So hey,
if they got you going to spam, that's on them.
Yeah. Right.
So what do you think? I wait a week and then if I don't hear back from, I just draw another winner.
I think so. I would give them a solid week.
Yeah.
A week, two at the most.
Especially and then maybe holiday time. Like I get it.
Yeah. Might be on vacation, might be out of town or something.
And then if you do another one in the future, maybe put a bullet point at the bottom, you know, notification will come out. If you don't respond within so long, then a new drawing is made.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good call. Yeah,
definitely.
Because it's not like I expect that you respond within like a couple hours. Like I get it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You gave away one of those battery bank things, right?
No, I gave away. Well, I did do one of those battery bank giveaways.
Oh, that was on Instagram.
Yeah. Hey, that ended up going to someone in like Utah or Arizona or something.
That's cool.
So maybe they're like a camper. Or like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No, the one I did on YouTube was just for a pair of like Bluetooth hearing protection.
Oh, cool. ISO tunes?
No, it was one of the other brands that I work with, Elgin or whatever. Okay. Yeah. They send it, it's like every month they just send like a couple of their products to me. I don't know why, but whenever I like go to places, like if they have like little woodworking get togethers or shows or whatever in Columbus, I just take them and I just give them to people.
Yeah, smart.
So it's like, it doesn't cost me anything other than shipping. Like,
yeah,
I'm happy to do it. And right around the holiday time, who's not down for a $150 pair of free headphones? It's pretty cool.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. So I saw you also released a new video. Actually, both of you guys released new videos recently, so I want to talk to both of you about that. But Eric, I had a question for you about the thumbnail of your latest video.
So many people did.
Ooh. Yes. So, super close-up shot of your finger. I had it up on my TV downstairs. Sophie walked by, and she was like, "What's up with his fingernail?" So I wanted to know, did you Photoshop that to make it more noticeable? Or do you just have a kind of screwy fingernail?
I did this on purpose. I was like, so this video is all about how I got rid of my table saw and like kind of like the evolution of like, I started with this saw or whatever and like why I upgraded and whatnot. And I was like, how do I make an interesting thumbnail? And I was like, well, table saws are like a hot button topic for people. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a really, really close up, zoomed in photo of the table saw. And I'm just going to like point to the blade.
Yeah. Smart. It's like, it's, you feel something as soon as you look at that. Like there's like a visceral feeling. It's like, oh, finger should not touch blade.
Right. Right. That, and that's what I was kind of going for. And then when I went to go edit the photos, I was like, oh man, I usually, whenever I try to point, with my right finger or my right hand, because my left hand is the one that I drilled into a couple years ago. And the fingernail is like, it grows in like crooked and like funky. It just like doesn't grow. Like, so like, let's see.
Oh yeah.
It grows in like that. Like you can clearly see where I drilled into my finger.
So for all the kids at home who are listening, if you
got like a solid 45,
if you screw up your fingernails, they just stay screwed up. They never heal.
Yeah.
Which is super annoying. I have like a crease in one of my thumbnails from, I don't know, I guess like hitting it with a hammer or something like that. And this crease has just stayed in my thumbnail for my entire life. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a splinter go up underneath my thumbnail and it went all the way to the bed, you know, the white part in the back.
Ooh.
And there was just this little black line that lived there for about a year as it slowly grew out with my fingernail.
Yeah. Oh, I had this brown spot on the inside of one of my fingers for years. And I just assumed, I was like, oh, I guess I have like a little mole on my finger, like no big deal, right? And then one day I was like kind of picking at it a little bit. It's like, wait a minute, that's a piece of wood. So I like grabbed a pair of tweezers and I got it out of there, but the skin had just grown over it. And there was just a little piece of wood stuck in between my fingers. Yeah.
It's not working.
No, you got to hold it up. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
Hell yeah.
Get laser beams going. I have in between the webbing of my fingers, come in on camera. You can see a teeny tiny dot.
Yeah, I think I see that.
I got stabbed with a pencil by a girl named Adriana Wheeler. I still remember her name in like first or second grade. And the piece of lead is just like in between my fingers now.
Oh, it's still in there. Well, I guess I think that's the way a lot of tattoos work, like early tattoos.
Could be.
Yeah, it's like, it's like it's just pigment that gets below your skin and gets stuck there, right? So,
embedded between the layers of epidermis.
Well, Eric, if you ever want to get that out of there, you just get yourself a pair of tweezers and you hack away at it like a meth addict.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll get it out of there.
That's, maybe I'll save that for another thumbnail.
Yes. Yeah.
But
so next time you got to make the blade blurry for the next round whenever you do the A/B testing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Blur out the blade a little.
Yeah, make it look like it's moving. There's all sorts of filters where you can apply fake movement to things.
Yeah. That was a lot of
effort. I've noticed that you haven't A/B tested that thumbnail. So is it working quite well for you?
No, I did.
Oh.
So I have access to the YouTube A/B testing for thumbnails now. So it'll actually do it live. It doesn't you don't have to wait day to day. So this one it performed it had like a 7% higher watch time than the other one. So I'm just going to leave this one here. And what's it at? It's at like, was it 60 or something? 60.
Yeah. 60. Last time I
saw this. And like a couple days. Like I'm thrilled with that.
Yeah. The long video too. So I found that long videos tend to live like a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the average view duration on that bad boy?
It's like 30 or 40%.
Okay. And for a long video, but that's in minutes. That's got to be like 15 minutes or something.
Yeah. Crazy. It's up in the high teens for sure.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But yeah. I've got messages from people. They're like, that's not a thumbnail. And I'm like, you're right. It's a fingernail.
Fingernail. Nice. Nice.
But yeah, I mean, it seems like the video, I didn't think this video was going to do anything. It was originally like 50 minutes. And then I was just like, I'm going to cut out so much of this stuff and just like zoom through a bunch of stuff. But people love hearing about why you got a tool. And so that's basically just what I wanted to try to do. So
yeah,
it moved. I got to say it moved. I thought I saw 36 minutes and I thought, well, this is going to be a long one. I'll sit down and strap in, but it moved along pretty good pace.
Yeah, I was trying to pace it. So
for everybody out there who's making YouTube videos, if you start with a really long video that has just a bunch of stuff happening and then you just hack away at it, that video will do well. Like that's, you know, if you can condense a whole bunch of stuff into a short amount of time, that really captures people's attention.
Without losing the key moments.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. But I make choices all the time. Like, do I want to keep this little bit or, you know, is this really important to the story?
Yeah.
So you kind of.
Can the audience.
You
can get to decide if the audience can go from A to B.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what's really important to our story?
Our patrons.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we got a new patron this week.
Ooh.
Mitchell Kraut Kramer.
Kraut Kramer? One word? Hyphenated?
Kraut Kramer. Wonder if he's related to Cosmo Kramer.
He's his German cousin.
Oh, could be. Our Kraut Kramer. But so thanks, Mitchell, for joining and supporting the show and aiding in the fight against the Green Suitors podcast. The worst.
Oh, yeah.
Podcasts on Apple and Spotify. But returning this week are our top tier patrons. We've got Dan Armendariz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with that. I need to stop fumbling on it. Got Luke Schmidt, Chris from Black Forest Creations, Josh at Freedom Workshop, and Corey Duvall. I guess Dadu's on there, but he hasn't figured out how to use his bank card yet. So... he got kicked off or the bank declined it or something. I don't know. Apparently people have been having issues with Patreon. I've never had any issue. We aren't doing anything. So I don't know.
Oh, Patreon's a nightmare.
But anyway, those are just some of the folks that are going to be joining us tonight for the live video chat that we're going to do every month. And
BYOC. You know,
yeah. BYOC. Bring your own camera. And they also get access to the after show. They get entered to win that $50 gift card every single month and a bunch of other perks. But if you want to check those out, you can go over to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast. There it is. And so, Derek, you put out a video too.
Yeah, let's talk about Derek's video.
Yeah, I did a holiday video. I'm assuming that neither of you have watched it yet, which is fine. I just released it earlier today.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Axe videos, so
yeah.
I took the Christmas classic, what is it called again? A Visit from Santa, the mm-hmm. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas poem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I rewrote it as like a woodworker, carpenter, recited that over some B-roll.
Okay.
So just a fun little thing. It's like four minutes. Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold on. So just based on that, I'm not even going to look at the thumbnail or look at the title.
Okay.
Have you considered titling it something like, this is live, so it's not going to be great. Something like, how, like, a woodworker's Christmas or like the way Christmas should be for woodworkers or something like that.
Christmas reimagined for woodworkers.
It's a carpenter's visit from Santa or from Saint Nick or something like whatever the whatever the original title was. I slipped in a carpenter.
I think just it's a carpenter's Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I see not, and I pride myself in knowing a lot of Christmas, you know, ditties and tunes. I had no idea what you're getting at with that one.
You get along very well with Sophie. She is all about the Christmas music.
Oh, baby. Day after Halloween, Christmas music is coming up. Might I make a holiday request or a suggestion to anyone out there? Sure. You might have heard of this this fella. Hold on, let me stand by.
Okay.
A lot of people know him as Calvin Cordozer Brodus Jr. He's more commonly known as Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
He's got a lovely album called Christmas in the Doghouse.
Great
Christmas album. I don't know if I'd play it around your grandmother.
I was going to say, I don't think, I'm starting to think that maybe you don't have a similar taste in Christmas music as Sophie.
There's a new one that's fantastic. It's called Doggy Dog Christmas. It's all about all of the food on Christmas and about the cheese. Fantastic song.
Okay, I'll check it out. I can't believe he did a whole album.
Oh, wait, there's a Snoop Dogg with Boyz II Men called Christmas in the Ghetto.
That's good. I wonder how many units of this he sold.
I don't know.
Let's say. But
excellent.
God, he's got a big catalog of music.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been in the game for a while.
Yeah. Crazy.
So how's your video doing, Derek? So now I gotta see.
Oh, it's like, I think maybe a couple views probably. Like I said, I hit publish on it at like 3. So yeah. I don't plan to, I got a comment earlier that I responded to, but other than that, I don't plan to look at it for at least 24 hours.
Right.
Don't want to drive myself crazy.
Yes. Do you guys do this? Do you play this game with yourself where like when a video comes out, whenever I publish a video, I will like not look at it for like 2 or 3 days. Cause I'm just like nervous to see how it did.
Oh dude, I check it like every 5 minutes for the first hour.
Really? Eh?
And I'm like, oh no, it's 9 out of 10. And I'm like, you gotta change something.
Cause like when I put out a video while I was in London, and then I just didn't check it until I got home. And like, I think it was even like the day after I got home, because I was just too nervous.
Yeah. So well, I mean, honestly, that's kind of how I felt about this last video. I was like, I don't think this is going to do well. And I'm like, oh, number 2 of 10.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. So yeah, it's always nice when you play that game with yourself and then you're pleasantly surprised by the results when you actually look at them.
Yeah.
Well, my channel came from, well, I guess I'm closer to zero than the two of you. So I'm closer to that. You don't want to look at it in the beginning because there's probably not going to be anything for at least the first 24 hours.
Yeah, it's hard to get traction, especially early on, right?
You don't have enough data. You're like, oh, it's number 10 out of 10, but it's like, oh, I have 7 views.
Yeah, I have 7 videos total.
It's 10 of 10 of 7.
I remember when I put out my first like 5 or 10 YouTube videos, it'd be like a couple days. I'm like, oh, first view, right on.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go. 1 view.
You're like, this one got 10?
Yeah.
Average duration, 1/10 of a second. I was like, we're getting places. We're getting places. Oh. I'll never forget how frustrating it was to start a channel.
Yeah.
What was the most frustrating part?
Everything.
It's just literally everything. Dumping hundreds of hours into stuff that nobody watches and doesn't move you forward in the direction you want to go at all.
No.
I think managing my own emotions around poor performing videos was the hardest part.
Yeah.
Like just not letting it discourage you and trying to just keep that mindset. It's, I think actually maybe one of the hardest things about it was that you put a video out and it's 10 out of 10, sucks, it's a stinker, and you don't really know why.
Yeah.
Like, it took me a while to kind of figure out the framework to properly assess why certain videos did better than others.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think that was the most frustrating thing, is because you put, like, you don't have much data to go on. You have, even if you're, you know, very prolific in your first year, you do 30 videos, 30 data points isn't really that much to,
no.
Yeah.
To kind of formulate a theory on. So you're like, my videos aren't performing well. That's frustrating. And not only that, but I don't know why they're not performing well.
And I'm losing money.
Yeah,
I'm hemorrhaging money doing this.
I'm spending money to do these things. I'm spending my own time, and I just
and the
don't
people
know why
that
I suck.
And the people that host the game keep changing the rules and moving the goalpost.
That too. Yeah.
I don't ever want to restart a channel.
Well, now I feel like I could do it better, obviously, because I know all the things that I know.
Yeah.
But it would still suck. But I honestly don't know that there's really much advantage to having a lot of subs. Like, I think I could get back to the position I'm at now relatively quickly if I lost my channel tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
because I know. Like,
year or two.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Post a couple N64 videos, I mean.
Yeah, exactly, right? But it took me 3 years or whatever to learn that Nintendo 64 videos perform well.
but you're going after what you were interested in.
Yeah.
Right?
You just figured out how to get other people interested in it as well.
Yeah, which is not necessarily always the easiest thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of losing channels, I remember a while back, Eric, you lost your Instagram account and then you started that backup Instagram account. Do you still keep up with that now that you're verified, or is that just gone away?
Oh, I don't even know. I think I still have it. I never deleted it.
But you don't
post it anymore. Yeah.
No, it's a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one of those success calls with a rep from Meta.
How much of a waste of time was that?
A pretty big waste of time.
They hit me up all the time. They're like, we'd love to chat with you. And I just ignore it.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've seen a couple people post videos about the same phone call and they all hit the same notes. They get the same information and they ask basically the same questions and they're given basically the same answers. It's just,
Do you post crazy. Reels? Yeah. Well, how often do you post them? Once or twice a day. Oh, okay. Do you use training audio? Yeah, sometimes. Oh, okay. Well, just keep doing that.
Yeah.
And be sure to use our editing software. No.
No. Yeah. Absolutely.
The guy also told me, he was like, you should really start a broadcast channel.
Yeah.
And then
how was a broadcast channel?
Another way to annoy your followers.
Well, that's the thing. His advice to me was to, every time you post, let everybody know on the broadcast channel and tell them to go interact with the post.
I would murder you if you invited me. I would leave that thing so fast.
Yeah. He was like, you know, like he was kind of weird about it too. He was like, you know, like the people who are in your broadcast channel are going to be like your most diehard fans. So just tell them to do something and they're probably going to do it. And I was like, oh, that feels gross. Like,
yeah, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time.
It was very clear that this was just like a guy that was hired to do this job.
To read a script. Like,
right. Yeah, like he's just like, you know, some 22-year-old guy they handed a script to off the street and were like, hey, call people and read the script to them.
I mean, I had pretty much the exact same interaction when I did one of these YouTube partner success manager things.
Right.
I did like one or two, and then I realized both of them were an absolute waste of time. This girl would constantly email me, and I would say, I'm going to respectfully decline from this because I did not gain any value from this.
Yeah.
And would hit me up multiple times a week. Hey, I have an opening. I'd love to talk to you about this. again, I'm respectfully declining this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. Well, but hey, I had a quick question. Derek, I noticed that you had done some like fancy Christmas light stuff.
Oh yeah.
So these are not like your standard, like go to Target, get the strings of Christmas lights. Tell me about these things.
Goofy, baby.
Yeah. I went online and my wife mentioned last year at the end of Christmas that she wanted to do permanent holiday lights. And we had talked about going with some company called Jelly Lights. And so this year we're getting closer and it's like October. So I start looking into it and the Jelly Lights are like thousands of dollars to have them come out and install these things. And then I came across the Govee lights, which are essentially the same thing.
So and, these Jelly Lights, like not a DIY thing, you have to call the company basically.
From what I've, the little bit that I gleaned and I read online, cause there wasn't a whole lot. You hire them to come out and do it, or I think you can buy them, but you have to go to their place to pick them up. Like, I don't think they deliver it. It's like they deal with pros only type of thing. So okay. I found the Govee lights. Everybody was raving about them online, which, you know, you take with a grain of salt. Did a little more research on them and went ahead and pulled the trigger because they were like, I could get the Govee Pros for, I think it was like $600 and install them myself and then wrap the whole house. So I went ahead and ordered those up, installed these Govee lights on my house. I mean, you've seen that they look pretty good. They do multiple colors on them. And then whenever Christmas is over, we're just going to turn the brightness down on them to like 1 or 2% and just have them be these nice soft white accent lights that run the whole house. Yeah. Huh. And I got to most of it, you know, I just put up my ladder and I was able to get to most of it, but we have a 2-story house. And then whenever I went to go do the second story, it's like 35 feet up and my ladder goes to 22 feet. So I ended up going to Home Depot and renting a bucket lift, parking it in my driveway and riding the lift up to the roof line and attaching for the second floor using that thing. But they were a little tedious to get working at first because there's like a voltage. There's like some voltage regulation going on. So like after a certain, after a certain length, they kind of like flicker unless you have their
power in.
Yeah. Their extensions have these little like nodules on them around the connections, and I think they either tell the main power supply to boost the signal because there's an extension, or they themselves somehow boost the signal. And it took me a while to kind of figure out where to put everything to get it to work right, but I got it working. It took me a couple of days, but it got working.
So it's like $200 for 100 feet
of the. Well, it depends on if you go with the pro or the regulars. You can get the regulars, I want to say, for a little under, I think right around 300, and it's like 100 feet.
Okay.
Or 400 for 200 feet, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the pro version are actually brighter, and they do true whites. They have 5 LEDs. They have a red, blue, green, and then they have 2 white LEDs. Whereas the regulars just have the red, blue, and green, and to go white, they just shine it all.
Yeah.
So you get a little more control over your whites if you go with the pro, and like I said, they're a little brighter, but they're more expensive.
Nuts. Yeah. That's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Right. And let me just say, as somebody who would always like have helped my parents and stuff with Christmas lights and stuff, it's a whole day thing.
Yeah. Just put them up once.
Yeah, so I put them up now, and hopefully I won't have to do it for another, I'm hoping, like 10 years.
Right. So you said like all in for a standard size home, you're doing basically just like the roof line, right?
Yeah.
And
it'd probably be $400 to $600, depending on if you wanted the 100 or, because I did the 200, but I only end up using about 100 feet of it. So really I could have got away with 100, but I couldn't find the 100. I had to buy the 200 because the 100 wasn't available until after I got my 200, and then I could find the 100 all day.
So how much are regular Christmas lights? Are they like $10-15 a box?
Maybe.
Yeah. It depends on which ones you want.
Yeah.
I want to say that we got just like GE's LED ones a couple years ago.
Sure, where you find it like Target or whatever.
Yeah, they were just like the short icicle ones of them. And they were like $20 a box.
And how long was the box? How long? Like 12 feet, probably?
100 feet.
It was 100 feet?
It was either 50 or 100 feet. I can't remember.
Okay.
Oh, I took it downstairs. I was going to say I had one, but I took it downstairs.
See, I remember mine being much shorter than that. Like all these strands that you'd pull out of the box and have to connect all the strands together. Yeah.
Wow. Well, when they started going LED, they could make them longer. So now they'll come usually I think between 25 and 50 feet, depending on which ones you get.
Yeah. So it's roughly 10x the price.
To go with the Gobies?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But then also think about what's your time worth, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I'm not poo-pooing on it.
No, totally. Just
trying to get a rough, if you're going to say, okay, you're going to spend roughly 10x the cost. You never have to take them down.
Yeah.
No.
And it's going to be a much higher quality light. You can reprogram them, can you do like by zones? Be like, okay, I want the first 12 LEDs to be blue and the second 4 to be another zone. Like, can you do that?
That's the other selling point of the Pro versus the regular. With the regulars, you can do that in groups of like, I think 4. But if you go with the Pro, you can control each light individually.
Right.
And do a whole lot more with the programming. And then they've also got like other stuff that the Govee brand sells to go on the outside of your house. Like they have a curtain of lights that'll display like an LED image if you want to sleep with that on top of your garage door. And then they've got like lights that you can wrap on your trees and stuff like that. And then they got a little box that you can put out there and it plays all the lights to music. So then
get out of town.
So you have like a speaker out there blasting Christmas music and then it makes all of your lights sync up with it.
Yeah. Like I think it works through the app in your phone, but yeah, like that's cool. It's kind of what it does.
I need to get this stuff. Man, I could make my house like a mecca for people on hallucinogenic drugs.
What, you mean it isn't already?
So like they can they can get covered in snow and like get rained on and stuff. Yeah, no, I think problem.
Healed up pretty good.
Yeah, that's, I think so. Yeah.
Nuts. So how did you learn about these? Did you learn about them through YouTubers?
Yeah, actually the first couple videos I saw were on YouTube. I was just searching up permanent outdoor Christmas lights DIY, and it was these, and there's like two other brands that are very similar, like Ufi or something like that was another one.
Yeah. And, not the brand that Zach was hawking that they steal everybody's data or whatever. Somebody got mad at you for, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but there's a few different ones. And then I think even like whenever I went on Amazon looking for them, there's like, what do you call them? Like other brands or whatever.
Yeah, a bunch of name brands.
Yeah. I don't want to say knockoff, but yeah, no name brands.
Yeah. The
import brands or whatever. Yeah.
Questionable integrity and product quality, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So after putting
600 here or 25 here.
Right. After putting those up, are you like, why didn't I do permanent Christmas lights earlier?
Not, I mean, yes and no. I would like to have, but I don't know that they existed in this. Like, I think this is the first year that these Govies have come out. I don't know. They may have been out last year, but I don't think they're that old.
I don't think
they were around that long.
That makes sense.
I think this is a kind of within the last couple of years, this is a new thing, the permanent outdoor lights. At least for the average consumer, I know high end, I'm sure they've had. Because I know the jellyfish things have been around for, I want to say, like 5 or 10 years.
I know that like the malls around here tend to have them. Because they'll do orange lights, you know, above stores for like, you know, Halloween and like, you know, 4th of July lights and stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't know that people did them residentially.
Yeah. I think that's
new. That's the nice thing about doing this now is, you know, it's not just Christmas. You basically get every holiday you can set your things to.
Yeah.
So you're like,
I'm looking forward to launching it with different colors every holiday now.
Yeah, you could do all totally. Red and people would think it was like a brothel.
Yeah. True.
Get some side income, Derek.
Yeah.
Come on down. Derek's home. Well, speaking of brothels.
On that note, yeah.
We probably gotta head over to the live chat with our patrons tonight.
To our brothel.
Yeah. Well, you guys got anything we want to add, or you want to head over to the group chat?
No, thanks for joining us, and we will see you guys next week. See you, everybody.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all those other holidays.
Whatever you happen to celebrate, I'm happy for you.
We're here for you.
That's right.
Yeah. Festivus.
Festivus.
Everyone else, even the made up air your grievances. Everybody, hey, seriously, we appreciate you listening. We're almost at episode 100, which is an episode that Green Suitor said we would never get to. So we regretfully tell you 99 will be our last episode.
Hey, we're rolling in with a good head of steam.
Yeah, and we got some guests coming up.
Yeah,
we're not going to reveal them quite yet. We can reveal them on the group chat. Patrons can get first access to know what the guests are going to be.
Hell yeah.
Sweet. Everybody, have a great holiday season. Stay safe out there. Don't listen to the Green Suitors podcast.
That's right.
See ya.